Right Education and Its Object. Ellen G. White. The best education that can be given to children and youth is that which fits them for a life of usefulness and for the future, immortal life. This is the kind of education that should be given by godly parents, by devoted teachers, and by the church, that the youth may be fitted to become zealous missionaries for either the home or the foreign field. They should be earnestly instructed in the truths of the Bible, that they may become pillars in the church, champions for truth, rooted and grounded in the faith. They should have so rich an experience in divine things that they will never become betrayers of sacred trusts. We are in great need of educated ability, and the talents entrusted to our youth should be consecrated to the service of God and employed in His work. There should be men and women who are qualified to labor in the churches and to train our young people for special lines of work, that souls may be brought to Jesus. The schools established by us should have this object in view. No phase of infidelity should be originated or countenanced in them. The students are to be educated in practical Christianity, and the Bible must be regarded as the highest, the most important textbook. The youth should be barricaded against temptation by warning and instruction. They should be taught what are the encouragements held out to them in the Word of God. They should have delineated before them the perils of taking a step into the bypaths of evil. They should be so instructed that they will set their resolution against evil, determine not to enter into any path where they could not expect Jesus to accompany them and His blessing to abide upon them. They should be taught practical, daily religion that will sanctify them in every relation of life, in their homes, in business, in the church, in society. The only safety of our youth in this age of sin and crime is to have a living connection with God. They must be so educated that they will realize that it is a perilous thing to trifle with their privileges, but that God expects them reverently and earnestly to seek daily for His blessing. The blessing of God maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow. It is a precious gift, and should be counted of so great worth that it will not be surrendered at any cost. My heart is stirred to its depths as I read of the prostitution of noble powers to the service of Satan. In positions of high responsibility, in official trusts, men are tempted, and corruption and crime, embezzlements, robberies, and extortions are the result. There are terrible sinks of corruption, pouring out upon the world poisonous influences that corrupt the community. In every place Satan's traps are set, that he may catch men of education, of good natural endowments, men who are capable of becoming laborers together with God, companions of angels, inhabitants of heaven, that he may bind them to his car as his slaves and make them instruments of working evil. Jesus has ransomed them from this bondage, yet they refuse to be set at liberty. They live as though the earth, money, position, houses, and lands were the main objects of their creation. Is it not a pitiable sight to see men of high ability living on so low a plane, for so ignoble a purpose? How sad it is that men turn from the immortal inheritance and live for the gratification of pride, for selfishness and display, and lose the blessings which they might have both in this life and the life to come. They might enter into the palaces of heaven and associate on terms of freedom and equality with Christ and heavenly angels and with the princes of God. God has given men the light and majesty of heaven, and with him all of heaven's rich treasures, and he is waiting to bestow upon them the love which he gives to his only begotten Son. Even in this life, he would have us enjoy everything that will ennoble, elevate, and expand our characters, for it is his design to fit us for the heavenly courts above. And yet, incredible as it may seem, men turn from heavenly attractions and yield themselves to Him who would shut from them every glimpse of the future honor, the eternal glories of heaven, or even from a foretaste of its happiness. Those who accept Christ as their Savior have promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. In surrendering ourselves to God to be molded and trained by Him, we reap great advantages. For we have weaknesses of character, and we unite ourselves to one who is able to remove these defects. Our ignorance is united to infinite wisdom, our frailty to enduring might. Connected with God, drinking in His divine love, we shall find access to the hearts of men, and may become successful laborers for God and humanity. For the assurance is given that He will bless us and make us a blessing. And this is our light, our joy, our triumph, a great reward for all our efforts.
To all we would say, and especially to the young, for Christ's sake, let your education be shaped by the inducements of the better world.